please silence your cell phones and other electronic devices as we prepare for worship this morning. Good morning on this Veterans Sunday. We owe so much to our military members. Please be sure to thank them and their families for their service and to let them know we do not take this service for granted. And if there are those among us whose loved ones has made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms we sometimes thoughtlessly enjoy, please accept our heartfelt sympathy for your loss and our gratitude for the lives that they have given. We would ask that you register your attendance on the registration sheet at the end of the pew, sign your name, and pass it down. Take note of anyone new and be sure to greet them. And if you are new, if you'd leave an email address or phone number so that we may contact you. And now please look over the printed calendar of events on the green sheet in your bulletin. And I think Tom has an announcement. I don't think.
Well, this week, me and Cindy talk about, we do got a church bowling team. I haven't really been up with them this year. Steve, Hutchfield, Cindy, Dave, his wife, Terry, and once in a while, Madison subbing for them. They are in first place. I haven't been following up with them very much. I've just been working. I may be subbing against them tonight. Bowl against them tonight. So they're doing really good. This is the first time our church's been up there. So.
Now let's prepare for worship as we listen to Diane's prelude. Stand now as Boy Scout Troop 13 presents the colors.
Color guard attention, audience attention. Color guard forward march. Color guard hold. Prepare to post the colors. Post the colors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two. Reform, color guard reform ranks. Color guard forward march. Color guard halt. Color guard at ease, audience at ease.
Our first hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Please stand and greet those around you, and then we will sing number 85 in the Red Chalice Hymnal, verses 1, 3, and 4. Cynthia told me to do it.
Yeah.
I just get confused. I have a clean.
Oh, do you need a Kleenex box?
No, I actually have a few.
Okay.
Thank you.
And now please join me in the call to worship, which is printed in the bulletin and is on the screen. Almighty God, create, redeem, and sustain us in every moment of life.
In you we place our trust.
When we suffer loss or are afraid, you are our protector.
When we prosper, you move us to share our blessings with others.
In times of hardship or times of plenty, you alone are the source of the life that really is life.
In you we place our trust.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to worship you on this beautiful Sunday in November. We thank you for our many blessings. We know how blessed we are to live here in America, where we are free, where we have the opportunity to speak our minds, worship as we choose, and vote for our leaders, knowing our vote is counted. Thank you for the men and women who have protected these freedoms down through the ages and protect them today. Thank you for bringing us together here and fill us with your spirit as we pray the prayer you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, as we celebrate Veterans Sunday, all veterans present will be invited to come forward in just a moment. And whether you're a member here or visiting today, we encourage you to participate. Sharon Lansing will begin our recognition.
Welcome to this service today. Whatever individual Christians decide about any given conflict, most Christians believe that men and women who strive to make this world free of tyrants are to be represented. As Winston Churchill put it, never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Veterans Day was originated as Armistice Day on November 11th, 1919, the first anniversary of the end of World War II. Excuse me, World War I, pardon me. Congress passed a resolution in 1926 for the annual observance, and November 11th became the national holiday, beginning in 1938. Veterans Day is not to be confused with Memorial Day, a common misunderstanding according to the U.S. Department of Military Affairs. Memorial Day, the fourth Monday of May, honors American service members who died in service in their country. While Veterans Day is tribute to all American veterans living as dead, but especially give thanks to living veterans who served their country honorably during war or peacetime. So let us at this time give thanks and honor to all of our veterans. John?
Thank you. A choir is going to do something real unusual today, this time. They're going to play the beginning places to the Army, Navy, all the different. If you're a veteran here, please, when your branch is sung, please come forward. And Bob, did you get a video? You can play the video, but don't play the sound. You can go ahead. Our Air Force. Coast Guard. seated. Yeah, I think it's on. Thank you. I think these guys should be recognized by names and maybe where they were possibly stationed before they got discharged. And we'll start with, I myself was in the Army from in 57, 58, and 59. And I was stationed at Travis Air Force Base, even though I was in the Army, because the Air Force requested us to be there to guide that air base, because that was a major air base to go overseas. And I have who here?
I was in the United States Navy Submarine Service Station in New London, Connecticut.
Ted Purvis, Army Engineers.
Rob Knaus, 1st Infantry Division, 16th Ranger Regiment.
Stanley McIrvin, I was stationed in Bad Aibling, Germany.
Jerry Meeks, U.S. Army in Frankfurt, Germany.
Mike Ward, Frankfurt, Germany, 3rd Armored Division.
Spencer Stupak, I was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the 101st.
Monkey Mountain, Vietnam.
Steve Huckfeld, USMC, Infantry Training School, Camp Pendleton, California.
Mac Malcolm, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Gene Buck, United Air Force, United States Air Force.
Thank you very much. I think these guys need a round of applause. Before you go, just stay where you're at. Come on back. Come on back. You're not quite relieved yet. You're not dismissed yet. Come back up. In honor of those who did not come back from overseas, those who have passed away, even if they come back home, we have two gentlemen, Solomon and Josh. I don't know their last name, but it doesn't matter. In their respect, let us pray TAPS. Dismissed.
Our thanks to John Lansing for putting together this tribute and recognition today. He has worked on planning it for many weeks, and we are so thankful for the service of all of our veterans. We give thanks to God for those who are now at peace and rest, and we pray for those who are still in active service. At this time, our young children are excused to go to Worship and Wonder and the Young Disciples class. And as the children head out of the sanctuary, if you haven't already done so, I invite you to look over the list of names in the bulletin of veterans who are members of the congregation or family and close friends of those in the church. We have not included the names of those who have passed away, only those who are still living. That list would be incredibly long if we also listed those who have served previously and gone to heaven. We continue to hold them in prayer. Our list of prayer concerns is on the back of your bulletin this morning. As we share these concerns, I invite you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray. Our card shower today is for Debbie Mestis. She had surgery on Monday. She was dismissed from Wyoming Medical Center Friday evening. She is at home resting. Her period of recovery will last at least 2 weeks. And while Debbie is on recovery, we are thankful for Keith and Pam Rouse for heading up our sandwich ministry and all the volunteers who help with that. It is a joy and a blessing for our congregation every Saturday to share in this special ministry with those in our community who are hungry. Keith and Pam led chapel today, and they talked about how it is a blessing for them. You think that when you're fixing a sandwich for someone who's hungry, that maybe you're helping someone else, and that's the person that will be blessed. But Keith said that actually it is a blessing for those who volunteer to be able to meet people in our community and be in relationship with them every Saturday. We extend prayers of sympathy to the family and friends of Tom Impey in our community. He was the head of the Casper College Theater Program for many years, and Tom has passed away and will be sorely missed. Mary Burgess will have a medical procedure on Tuesday, and she asks for your prayers. Names that were lifted up at first service today, we're praying for Mike Milo's mom, who's having heart issues, for Russell, who lives in California and has a niece who's about 1.5 years old. She was in a diabetic coma, and the doctors are trying to figure out how to help a girl so young deal with diabetes. Matthew Trott and Mark Steinle continue to need our prayers as they battle cancer. John Joyner has received word that he'll have to have a toe removed. Prayers for him. We pray for Jackie Cook as she struggles with her balance and difficulty in walking in her legs. She is frustrated and doesn't want to have to be on a walker for a long time. She's going through physical therapy. Prayers for Jackie. The missionary we're lifting up today is Charlotte Russell, who serves in the Congo. There continue to be conflicts and struggles in the Congo related to the distribution of resources. Many of the rare and precious metals, including those that are used to make cell phones, are found in the Congo, and there's a lot of economic pressure on that country. There's a lot of struggle and turmoil between corruption and those who are trying to share the resources of their land with people who are most in need. There are many disciples of Christ who live and worship and work in the Congo. Our prayers are with them today. Our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of First Christian Church Burlington, Colorado, and their pastor, Dennis Sherrington. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign and send greetings. Are there others that we need to add to our list today, joys or concerns we want to share? Tom.
Yeah, why our country, the United States, find with each other?
We definitely want to pray for our nation right now to give thanks that the election is over. And there are certainly many people in our nation and people in our congregation who are happy and rejoicing at the selection of the next president, and others who are fearful of what this selection means. And we need to pray for one another as Americans and work together to be a united nation that cares and respects all of our citizens. Thank you for that important reminder of prayer, Tom. Others today. Darlene.
Thank you.
Prayers for Frank Fuhrer as he struggles with COPD and for his family.
Suffering with lymphoma. I just got news yesterday that he is, it has come back and it's kind of worse than it was before. So this is the third round. So he's struggling with patience and healing and everything else. So if you could please keep him in your prayers, please.
Prayers for Mark Roland Cotter, who's had a third return of lymphoma. Let us turn to God in a time of prayer as we share in silence, holding these and other concerns before the Lord. O God of every nation, we are humbled to be called your children, to be claimed as your own through Christ. On this Veterans Sunday, we are especially mindful of our nation. Lord, we pray for the United States of America. We give thanks for moments of glory in the history of our nation. And we confess the sin of those times when we as a people have not followed your will. Lord, we give thanks for your presence in our country through this past week as a new president was elected. We are thankful for the freedom to vote, for the peaceful transition of power from one leader to the next. And we pray for countries around the world who do not have this freedom and cannot trust in their leaders. Lord, we pray for your wisdom, for the current administration, for President Obama and all of his staff. And we pray for your wisdom to guide the next president of our country. Lord, we ask you to watch over Donald Trump, to bless him with wisdom, to shape him into a wise and just leader for our country. Oh God, we give thanks this day for veterans. We pray for those who currently serve in all the branches of the armed forces, for the work that they do, some often in harm's way, to strive to keep peace in our world and to protect the privileges of freedom that we enjoy as Americans. We give you thanks for those who have served before, for the soldiers, sailors, and Marines who stood before us this morning. Each one of them has stories they could share of times of trial. We thank you, God, for watching over them and bringing them home safely. And we pray for those individuals and families who made the greatest sacrifice, giving their lives in service of our country. Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be upon our nation as we move forward together as a united people. We pray for your healing in the world. We pray for people who live in places where war is a reality every day, places like Syria, where battles disrupt lives, destroy homes and neighborhoods, and threaten innocent children and civilians. Lord, we pray for your reign to come on earth. We pray for peace in our world, in our country and our communities, in our homes and places of work, and in our schools. Oh God, we ask for your healing hand to be upon those people we have named this day, who are struggling with mental and physical and a variety of health issues. Lord, watch over each one. We pray for Milo's mother and her heart concerns, for Russell's niece living with diabetes at such a young age. We pray that you will watch over Mary Burgess when she sees the doctor on Tuesday and help Debbie Mestis to heal. God, we thank you for successful surgery for Debbie, and we pray now that she can rest and recover. Thank you for all the volunteers who continue at the sandwich ministry in our church and our community. God, we ask for your healing for those who grieve, for the family and friends of Tom Impey and others who have known loss. We pray for Mark and Matthew and many who are living with cancer. We pray for John Joyner and Jackie Cook, for Frank Fuhrer, for Mark Rollincotter. Oh God, may your healing come in accordance with your will. For Frank especially, Lord, we ask for your healing and trust in your wisdom as to whether it will be earthly or eternal. Bless his family with peace and end his suffering. God, we thank you for Sharla Russell and her courage in answering your call to work in the Congo. And we pray for Pastor Dennis and all the members of First Christian in Burlington. Lord, for every prayer spoken aloud and for those held in our hearts, we give thanks that you listen and respond. Whenever your people pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Have you ever thought of the places and the tables on which you have eaten? In the little farmhouse kitchen of my childhood, we ate our meals on a yellow formica top table. It was the late 40s and 50s that I remember. My parents and all six of my siblings sat around that table. Each of us sat at the same place every meal. We each had our place at that table. And I don't suppose that's very different from any of you. You probably all have your own place at your table. But I have been in situations where I felt like I didn't have a place at the table, sometimes just in a crowded food court or a motel breakfast where you get your waffle or your cereal and your coffee and then you can't find a place to sit down. It's not a very comfortable feeling. And also, I think if you watched sitcoms, even if you haven't experienced this personally, I think you know what it must be for a student in junior high, say, to start to sit down at a table in the lunchroom and realize they're not very welcome. Well, here at this table, the table of Jesus Christ, everyone is welcome. everyone has a place. And now, let's prepare for that meal as we sing our communion hymn, number 161 in the Chalice Praise. Here is the bread.
In this moment, by the Spirit of God, Christ is with us here. Whether you are a visitor this morning or you worship at First Christian every Sunday, all who believe in Christ are invited to share in the loaf and the cup as they are passed. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and passed it to each one of them in their place, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then Christ took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Lord Jesus, we come as you ask us to remember this day that the Father sent you, that you gave your life in the ultimate battle for our souls. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come, that your bread and wine will feed our faith this day to remember that through war, through peace, in joy and in sorrow, you, Lord, are with us, have always been with us, know us, love us, and redeem us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. in whose name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This year, our stewardship theme has been Live Simply. And it reminds me of a story. In Laramie, there was a deacon in the Catholic Church. and he'd been the longtime high school football coach. And former players would always get a kick out of hearing his sermons. They'd always laugh, wondering whether the inspiration for the homily came from the gospel or from a past halftime speech. One of his mantras as a football coach was that football is a simple game, but it ain't easy. He adopted that idea into his faith life, often sharing with the parish the message that being Christian is simple, but it ain't easy. God calls us with simple messages like love one another, but we all know that that simple message isn't always easy. I see a parallel in our pledge cards. A simple task to fill out a paper card, but it isn't always easy. One thing I struggle with is the discussion of even needing pledges. We gather for worship, and often messages of money come up. This is my spiritual haven, a place to recharge from my daily life, which almost always has some sort of interaction with money. Can't this be the time or the place to escape money? But you see, our church is a financial institution. We're actually a currency exchange. We collect the currency of our fallen world, dollars. And we exchange it here into the currency of God's world, cash, into currency of space to worship, missions of sandwiches and blankets, preschool, children's education, youth groups, faith-based fellowship, Boy Scouts, spiritual growth, healing, and comfort. The list goes on. We, as God's people, bring our financial offerings to this place and see them converted into light, the bright light of Jesus' love. The diaconate will now collect our pledge cards and offerings.
We bless you and praise you, eternal Lord, for all the gifts you have given us. Please take these tithes and offerings and multiply them to do your work from here to the ends of the earth. Bless the gifts and the givers. Amen.
Morning. Alrighty. Our first scripture today comes from the Gospel of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, in your Pew Bibles on page 210, if you'd like to follow along. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, men of God, shun all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life, to which you are called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Our reading continues. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Diane and Josh, for that wonderful music. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, we long for the life that really is life. We long to live with you and to have you live within us. Bless now the words of my mouth and the ponderings of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once you get past the four gospel accounts of Christ's life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read the Acts of the Apostles, almost all the rest of the New Testament is letters. Letters written to the early church in specific places and a specific time, and letters like we've heard from this morning, written to individuals. We know of young Timothy from both the book of Acts and from the two letters he received and shared with the church, giving instruction from Paul. We know that Timothy traveled with Paul and learned from him. He spent some time in Ephesus. When Paul was in prison, we read that he longed to send Timothy to Philippi. And Timothy, in fact, later in life, according to tradition, became the bishop, the leader of the church in Ephesus until he was martyred at an old age in the year 97 AD. When Paul was writing 1 and 2 Timothy, these two letters to Timothy, he was still young and growing in the faith. Timothy came from a mixed family. His grandmother, Lois, his mother, Eunice, were of the Jewish faith, but Daddy was Greek. Timothy was uniquely positioned to travel with Paul at a time when the Christian faith was just bridging the gap between those who had inherited the faith of the Jews, the ancient Israelites, and those who were hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. When you read a letter, you can learn a lot about both the person it's addressed to and the person it comes from. My mother was a letter writer. It's a lost art in a day of email and cell phone and quick communication. She learned to write letters from her mother. One time I was at church camp and I received a letter from Grandma Graves in Iowa. The tradition at church camp was, in order to get your mail at camp, you had to stand up and sing a song. It was part of community building, public embarrassment, if you will. I had gotten a lot of mail that week, and I was tired of singing, and I said, no, I'm not going to sing. And they said, well, if you don't sing, we're going to read it. And I said, what's the postmark? And they said, Des Moines, Iowa. And I said, read it. Grandma told me that the peas were fine. Her letter always had an update on the weather, an update on the garden, and mention of some relative whom most often I could not even recall what the connection was, but I knew that Grandma knew. When my mom passed away, she left behind as a treasure trove for the family boxes of letters. Each box was labeled with a person's name on it. I have the box that said, Cindy. In it, there are letters that I wrote to my mom from church camp when I was in third grade. There are letters that I sent her when I was in college. Almost every one of those says, thanks for the money you sent. My dad's box has letters that are older. He has a few letters dating back generations. His mother, my grandma, was born on a farm in South Dakota to a family including people who had immigrated to the United States from Norway. They were farmers and life was hard. She was born in 1912. Her father, Frederick Rapp, was killed in World War I. Grandma never knew her dad because of that, but she was in large part shaped by his service. She ended up receiving survivor benefits from the United States Army, and that allowed young Lenore Rapp to move from South Dakota to California and stay with a relative and go to college. Her life was far different than the previous generation in our family. There are also letters in my dad's box that relate to World War II. We had a relative in South Dakota who had three sons. All three were drafted. Two of those boys died serving overseas during World War II. And so their mother became what's often referred to as a Gold Star mother. Someone like Megan Schaefer, who's with us this morning, whose son died in Iraq. A Gold Star family is those people who have offspring who die in active service, protecting the freedoms we often take for granted as a country. After two boys in this family of farmers in South Dakota died in World War II, the U.S. government said, your sacrifice has been great. The third son was not released from his duty. But when Korea came, instead of being stationed in a conflict zone, he was sent to Okinawa. Ironically, tragically, he died as well when a Jeep rolled over during a training exercise. Three sons of one family, gone. Part of the family tree is cut off at that branch. We don't know the rest of Timothy's family tree, whether or not he married and had children. We do know that he had many children in the faith, that he continued to carry on the teachings of Christ that he had learned from Paul. Teachings like this: there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. During the last several weeks, we've heard the theme, live simply. Part of living simply has to do with being content. It's really a counterculture message. We're surrounded by announcements and advertising telling us to always want more, no matter how much we have. And yet Paul and Jesus teach us to be content, to strive not for more of material comforts on this earth, but to strive for the kingdom of God, to strive, in the language of 1 Timothy chapter 6, to take hold of the life that really is life. Ponder that phrase this week. Take hold of the life that really is life. You know, when tragedy hits, it kind of refocuses your entire life. When your three sons die in overseas conflicts, it shapes who you are and what you do, what you think about every day. Whether the tragedy is related to death and loss or another kind of suffering or struggle, there are things that happen in life that get our attention. In those moments, we begin to ponder, what really is life? What matters the most? Whether you're holding the hand of a loved one who's 90 getting ready to go to heaven, or cradling a newborn baby, it makes you think, what matters most? What is the life that really is life? Part of it is hinted at in this letter to Timothy. Part of knowing what really matters in life has to do with being content. We're told if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. It's enough. If we have food on our plate and clothes on our back, ultimately there's nothing else that we need. There might be a lot of stuff that we want, but nothing else that we need. What really matters in life is so simple. But as Nicholas reminded us, it ain't easy. What really matters in your life? What is most important to you? If you had to give away everything and just hold on to just a few things, what would you keep? If you had to, for some reason, say farewell to many of the people around you, who are the few you would want to still have as closest friends? What really matters most in life? As followers of Jesus Christ, who is the one and only sovereign, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, we know that if we can hold on to Jesus, very little else matters. We are gifted with the life that really is life on this earth and in the time to come. For the veterans among us, there have been times in your life when you had food and clothing provided by Uncle Sam and not much else. My dad chuckles sometimes when he talks about his stint in the Army. He's kind of an odd duck in that one of his favorite meals, I think just because it brings back memories of buddies, is SOS. Let's call it something on a shingle. That's an abbreviation. Stuff on a shingle. A piece of toast with kind of canned mystery meat slopped on top of it. It's a quick and fast meal that can be served to hundreds of GIs in very little time. You don't worry too much about your specific place at the table because you only have about 15 minutes to wolf down all those calories and get back to work. So you've got your place, you've got your food, you've got your clothes, your uniform on your back. There's not much else that you need in that moment except maybe a letter from home. You're aware of what really matters. You remember why you're doing what you're doing. Whether you volunteered or you were drafted, you're serving your country, and you do it because you love the people you left at home. Whether it was your girlfriend or your wife and kids, mom and dad, siblings. What really matters in that moment is those people that you love, and you want so much to get back and see them again. What is the life that really is life? It has nothing to do with most of the stuff that we can see. It has everything to do with who we are and who God is shaping us to become as followers of Christ. Part of the gift and part of the challenge of serving in the military is that you're part of an imposed community. The gift in that is that if you have a good leader, you become a unified force, working together for, in the best of circumstances, a noble purpose. You've got each other's back. When you talk with veterans, especially those who served in World War II, many of them stay in touch with their buddies decades later because you have that shared experience. You went through it together, and at times, it wasn't easy. There is a gift to being in community. We are called, as Paul called Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith, to work together side by side, and to assure one another, I've got your back. Brother, I'm with you. Sister, we'll make it through. When we have our fall stewardship drive every year, we're reminded that we are part of community. We belong one to another. None of us can do this thing called church alone. All of us need each other for encouragement in the faith, to make it through the hard times, and to find peace together. When we talk about the life that really is life, for us as believers, that is centered on Jesus Christ. The life that really is life begins on this earth, but it extends far beyond the time that we share here into the eternal realm. As for those who in the present age are rich, it's all of us. We have food and clothing. Command them not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything. We are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for ourselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. May we all take hold of the life that really is life. and live it fully forever. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 677, Let There Be Peace on Earth. If there's anyone this morning looking for a church home or moved to give your heart to God, to ask Christ to come and be your Savior, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Right after worship downstairs in Fellowship Hall, we have a time of refreshments. There's coffee, and I'm not sure if it's donuts today or another snack, but all of you are invited to come and share a chance to have conversation with others. We will have a retrieval of colors by the Boy Scouts and then our final prayer.
Color guard attention, audience attention. Color guard forward march. Color guard halt. Prepare to retrieve the colors. Retrieve the colors. Reform ranks. Color guard forward march. Color guard halt. Color guard at ease, audience at ease.
Let us pray. O God of grace and peace, guide us that we may live the life that truly is life. In Jesus' name, amen.